I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take. Thank God he undertakes for me. And the people of God said, amen. You can be seated. I want to preach the gospel tonight from this great story that Christ himself told when he was upon this earth. Sleepers, wise or otherwise, which are you? The story of the five wise and the five who were otherwise. And this is a tremendous story containing the very heart of the gospel of our Lord. No one can read the New Testament and the Gospels without being impressed by the simplicity with which Christ spoke, by the shortness of his sentences, and by the sharpness of his arguments. Christ is the wisdom of God Almighty incarnate. And every word he spoke has upon it the breath of eternity. He has the keys. He alone can open the doors into the mystery of the gospel. He himself is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by him. I want you to see with me tonight two great truths of this tremendous story of the wise and foolish virgins. First of all, I want to show you a comparison between the virgins that are wise and the virgins that are otherwise. There are great similitudes between them. First of all, notice their numbers are similar. There are five wise, and five were foolish. Now when we study the marriages in their Jewish setting, we discover that on the evening of the wedding day, the custom was that the bride, accompanied by her husband, went to the home they were both going to set up their future lives in. A great feast was served, and this was the final act of the marriage ritual. The bride was always attended by a company of virgins. In Psalm 45, verses 14 and 15, we read about the bride. She shall be brought unto the king in remnant of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. The arrival of the bride and groom was always late. It was never on time. And those who wanted to join in the final action of that day's ritual had to wait for the bride and bridegroom to come. The marriage always took place in the evening. Therefore, there was a need for lamps to be lit to light the way. The Jewish people had always a singular propriety in the number 10, which they held was the number of company. And all of these 10 virgins, wise and foolish alike, waited for the bridegroom and his bride to come. So their numbers were similar. Notice, secondly, their characters are similar. They are all described as virgins. Outwardly, they were all dressed the same. In the eyes of man and woman, they all looked the same. And to the all-seeing eye of Christ, they were the same. They were virgins. On the test of morality, they passed the examination. Their characters were similar. But something else you need to notice. Their purpose was similar. Their purpose was to meet the bridegroom who had married one of their friends and to join the wedding suite and attend their friend and her new husband. The words in verse 1 of Matthew 25 are, their purpose was to meet the bridegroom. Their object was the same. They were joined together to fulfill it in unity. That intention of meeting the bridegroom was common to each of them. Notice, fourthly, their lamps were similar. Each one had a similar lamp, which was supplied by those who arranged the wedding reception. Notice how the whole 10 had lamps to light the way to their joint destination. How emphatic are the words of our Lord. He said, they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Notice fifthly, their weakness was similar. Yes, they all had the same heaviness and weakness. While the bridegroom tarried, they all, every one of them, they all slumbered and slept. The common tiredness captivated and conquered them all. It mattered not what was their age or physical condition. Each one of them slept soundly. None awakened the other. And lastly, notice their summons was similar. They all awaked at the same time. At midnight there was a cry made Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Not one of the 10 failed to wake up and attempt to trim their lamps. For the cry had gone up, behold, the bridegroom cometh. All of the 10 heard the same alarm and obeyed it in rising from sleep. The foolish awoke to the same warning as the wise, and the wise awoke to the same warning of the foolish. So we discover these 6 characteristics that were common to both the wise and foolish virgins. To everyone, the gospel of Christ is sent. There are no exceptions. The wise and the foolish have this in common. To each one of them, the word of salvation is sent. The whole world is given the opportunity to hear and to heed the gospel of Christ. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. So if you'd looked at those 10 virgins, you'd have seen that there was a commonness between them and a similarity between them. But when we look a second time, we see not the comparison, but we see the contrast between them. Having looked at the comparison, let us now look at the contrast. The first contrast was their character. Matthew 25, verses 1 and 2. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Here we have a great divide. To Achijah, look, one of us would say, all is well. These whole 10 persons are one and the same in their character. But they weren't. There was a great divide. 5 of them had wisdom. The other 5 of them were united in their folly. We now see the contrast which divided these virgins. There is a great gulf fixed between the first 5 and the second 5. These 2 characteristics our Lord has referred to in many of his parables. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, which fills the 5th, 6th, and 7th chapters of Matthew's Gospel, these 2 characteristics are emphasized by Christ when he speaks about those who obey the gospel and those who disobey the gospel. In Matthew 7:24, he talks about the wise man who built his house upon a rock. The wise man, their wisdom is a great priority. It's the first thing. But in verse 26 of Matthew 7, he describes the foolish man. And the wise man built his house upon a rock, and it stood unscathed in the storm of life and the test of eternity. But the foolish man built his house upon the sand. And when the test came, and when the winds blew, and when the storm blasted, that house fell, and great was its fall. In the parable of the sower, the Lord takes note and underscores the fact that three out of the four mentioned in that parable are lost souls. Three out of four. In the parable of the pounds, it is one in ten who is lost. While in the parable of the marriage of the king's son, one is lost out of an infinite number of people. In these illustrations, we have a warning. Are there few that be saved? The answer is yes. There are few that be saved. The way to hell is crowded. The way to heaven is sparsely tread. Great and wide are the gates, and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. But strait is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Could I ask you a personal question tonight? Have you found the way? Have you ever searched for that way? Have you ever sought for that way? Have you ever worked to come into a clear knowledge of Him who is the way, the truth, and the life? For no man cometh unto the Father but by Him. The second contrast comes to the vessels of the virgin. The foolish virgins took no oil in their possession. They didn't take a vessel. The difference between the two fives is five had the lamp and the vessel with the oil to sustain it. The other five had the lamp, but they had no vessel of oil to keep it lit. Instead of light, for them there was darkness. The supply of oil is not there. There is no springing up into everlasting life there. The trimming of the wick is useless if there is no oil in the lamp. What happened? Well, if there's no oil and you trim the wick, in those circumstances, the wick destroys itself. It burns itself out because there is no oil. At the end of the day, will you be a burned out wick eternally? That's the question you need to ask. Will you be a wick that was trimmed? But because there was no oil, it burned itself out. Are you going to be a burned out soul in the darkness of the fire of everlasting hell and eternal torments? This is the question you need to face up to. Notice third contrast, the parting of the ways. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. The lamps are bound to go out, because there's no supply of oil. How different it is to those that obey Christ. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, verses 35 and 36, the Lord says, let your loins be girded about, and your lamps burning, and be yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. There is a difference, the real difference between the wise and the otherwise. But there's another contrast, the fourth contrast. The coming of the bridegroom missed. In their time, seeking to find oil to keep their lamps burning, the bridegroom arrived and they missed his coming. Here was a miss which would be forever. There was no way that what they had now lost could ever at any time be found, either in this world or in the world to come. Here was an ending that had no ending. Almost persuaded, harvest is past. Almost persuaded, doom comes at last. Almost cannot avail. Almost is bout to feel. Sad, sad, that bitter wheel. Almost. Almost, almost, but lost. Almost persuaded, an old Puritan preacher said, is altogether damned. Yes, how true that is. But notice there's a fifth contrast here. The shut door and the open door. The eternal door that day swung back on its everlasting hinges. It was shut forever against those foolish and faithless virgins. The eternal lock was shut home, and anyone not inside was outside forever, 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 and forevermore. That door would never open to them. That way in would not open to them. That welcome by the Savior was not open to them. It was gone. It was gone. It was gone forevermore. But note with me the sixth contrast. Terror outside the shut door and triumph inside the shut door. It was no wonder that Isaac Watts, the great hymn writer, wrote these solemn words. That awful day will surely come. The appointed hour makes haste when I must stand before my judge and pass the solemn test. Thy lovely chief of all my joys, thou sovereign of my heart, how could I bear to hear thy voice pronounce the sound, depart, O wretched state of deep despair, to see my God remove and fix my doleful station where I will never taste his love. Jesus, I throw my arms around, I hang upon thy breast, without a gracious smile from thee, my spirit cannot rest. Oh, tell me that my worthless name is graven on thy hands. Show me some promise in thy book where my salvation stands. Give me one kind assuring word to sink my fears again, and cheerfully my soul shall wait her 80 years and 10. Eternity, 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 where will you be my hearer in eternity? Go and watch at yonder door and ask yourself the question, will I be inside or outside in the final day of judgment? Will I have missed the bridegroom, and by missing him have I gained eternal death that shall last forever? We need to awake with all our heart and with all our soul. Oh, let me tell you, dear sinner friend, you don't need to perish. There is a blood-stamped passport that will bring you safely to heaven forever by receiving Christ as your own and personal Savior. I care not what sins you have committed. I care not how grievous are your crimes. I care not how many are your transgressions. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Only trust Him. Only trust Him. Only trust Him now. He will save you. Hallelujah. He will save you now. Let us bow our heads. O God, our Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. How solemn, yet how true it is. And we thank Thee that Thou hast sent Thy Son to open the door, to show us the way, to accompany us heavenward, homeward, and Godward, until someday we stand in the glory shore, singing, washed in the blood of the Lamb. We thank Thee for everyone in this house tonight who are saved, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Spirit of God. We pray none will go out through the door of this meeting house a lost soul, that everyone will be sure that they're safe by simple faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Draw us that we may run after Thee. And the people of God said, Amen.